Ross Bowman Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back for episode 227 of the Ross Bowland Podcast, otherwise known as RBP 227, presented by Bowland Media. I am your host, Ross Bowland, and today I am joined, thankfully, in the studio by both Jared Borslow and Anthony Johnson. What a blessed occasion, boys. How are the pair of you doing? Don't talk all at once.
Do you want to go first?
Do you want to go first?
Oh, okay.
Spit in my face and call me a turkey, because gobble gobble, we're back.
Wow, okay. A Thanksgiving appropriate, like a month and a half early, probably?
Yeah, honestly, Ross, you can spit wherever you want.
But if you used that, Jared, in like a month and a half, it wouldn't have been nearly as weird, like an appropriate, a seasonal joke.
There's certain very commonplace objects and items and, like, I'll just say nouns that are very specific to one time of the year, and I think we actually are nearing turkey season. Thoughts?
I disagree. We are entering Halloween season. It's October.
Or even better, you know what this time of the year is. We're entering the glorious time of the year where we're in the middle of football season. MLB playoffs are about to kick off.
Oh, yeah.
And basketball season is about to start.
AJ,
the trifecta, the holy trinity of sports.
It truly is the best time of the year. It is my favorite time of the year. Even when, because here's the beauty of it.
Why even leave the house?
Yeah.
Just become a recluse.
It's like a safety net, right? Because let's say your NFL team just perennial bed shitters like mine, the Texans. Well, that's okay because you've got the Astros entering the playoffs. You've got the Rockets starting up with Westbrook.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, like, so you usually, no matter where you are, if you're in a big city with a big market
MMA.
City, you probably get. No, I didn't see him doing MMA.
You didn't see that video of them doing... I think it was just boxing.
I thought he was doing kickboxing. Oh, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know how that prepares them.
But if you're in a big market city, you probably have a fallback. Like, if one of your teams is shit, it's okay. You can focus your attention elsewhere. Or if you're lucky enough, you've got multiple good things going on at once.
What if you're like me and none of your teams that you follow are in the same city? I've got the Rays, who are in the playoffs for the first time in a long time. That's awesome.
Good for you.
I got the Badgers football, ranked top 10 still, number 8. Badger basketball starting up. I will say this. Nobody in the world cares about this fact but me. Currently, the Badgers have the number 1 2021 college basketball recruiting class.
Don't care.
That's real.
Don't care. But that's great.
And then...
Good for you guys.
Packers. So...
What do you say? What's your badge up or something?
Go badge.
Go badge. Yeah. Creative.
Hey, think about people who live in Miami. They don't have any sports teams to root for.
Do they not?
What about
You got the Heat, the Dolphins, and the Marlins.
Who do the Heat have? They don't have Whiteside or Dwayne Wade anymore.
Do the Marlins suck too?
The Marlins are one of the worst teams in the MLB.
Oh,
they're probably the worst.
Shit. Yeah, that's rough.
Who do they have?
But you're in Miami.
Who is the number one athlete in the city of Miami right now? Anybody know this?
I don't know.
Dwayne Wade.
He's not.
Oh, wait, no. Didn't Jimmy Butler go to Miami? Jimmy Butler's in Miami, though.
I'm still seeing in my head.
Oh, is he on the Heat now?
I'm seeing him in a Bulls jersey. He's in a Philly. He's in the Timberwolves.
Wait.
He was on the Timberwolves, right?
You guys are idiots. I can't believe I'm having to Google this. I'm not even the one who brought it up. Jesus. He's on the Miami Heat.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I remember that trade, yeah.
Yeah.
He left.
He bounces around a lot, though. He was in Philly.
So he's probably the biggest athlete in Miami.
Can we talk about... This is...
No, it's still Dwayne Wade.
Do you know the story about Jimmy Butler in his car?
Nope.
Do either of you remember this story? This is from like 2016, I want to say.
The story of Jimmy Butler in his car?
Yes.
It's not a very good pitch. It better be good.
It's amazing.
This is
going to be probably the best anecdote of the entire podcast.
Hundreds of thousands trusting you with a couple minutes of their
people
life.
Are
right
eagerly
now. Oh, no. Listening. This is going to be like two sentences.
They just turned the volume up
right
now.
Okay,
here
we go.
This is a true story.
Here we go.
Jimmy Butler has removed the rear view mirror from his car because he never wants to look back. Look it up.
Okay, I remember this. Yeah.
This is a real story.
Didn't he post like a photo of it or something? There was like no mirror.
I don't remember, but he doesn't have, that's so dangerous. That might even be against the law.
Yeah, if you type in Jimmy Butler and then put RE, it just immediately goes to rearview mirror, and then it's been covered on every sports website in the entire
yes,
world.
Yes, he doesn't want to, he's so into the idea of never looking back and only looking ahead that he's manifested that into making it so that he has less days ahead of him, probably.
Yeah, that's...
by removing the ability to look behind him.
Can I just...
How does he... like?
No. This brings me to my next point. If you are wealthy, if you are worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, if your body is the main tool in creating that wealth, so whether you're an entertainer or an athlete or whatever, hire a driver. Why are you driving yourself around?
If I was rich, I would never drive.
That is absolutely insane. First of all, buy yourself a Wraith or a Phantom or something. Hire a driver.
And you want to hire a driver to drive around your fancy sports car? That's not the point.
It's not a sports. That's what those. You don't buy a Phantom and drive it yourself unless you're a rapper, and that's stupid. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to buy a Phantom, hire a driver, and sit in the back where there's like 14 feet of leg room so that you can eat enchiladas on the floor and roll around.
Jimmy Butler had a very nice like BMW that he did this in, which is like he wants a driver. I don't know where you're driving
in
Chicago.
I'm just saying, hire a driver if you're worth millions of dollars. You know? Jimmy, if you're listening, hire a driver.
Do you think Jimmy listens to
this? This eliminates DWIs and shit, too.
Like, Ross, you're not rich, and you have a driver, technically. You take Uber everywhere.
I Uber everywhere. I don't know if that's the same as having a driver.
In your delusional mind, you don't act like you have your own driver?
No.
You call him by his last name?
Right now, though, depressingly, my car is dead in my garage.
Oh, wow.
Inside the garage.
One time, I was in an Uber with Ross, and he kept calling
the driver. You don't even want to know how that happened?
No. I
want to know.
I left the car door open.
No!
Came down the next morning, and by down, I mean out, and yeah.
You can't do that.
That was a couple days ago.
Oh. I was going to say I was in an Uber with Ross once, and he kept calling the driver Garçon.
Garçon. Take a left here, Garçon. I do that in every Uber. It's why my rating is so high, because they really love it. They enjoy it. You should try it if you're in an Uber right now listening. Hit pause and refer to your driver as Garçon. And see how it goes.
When they rate you, you know how you rate your driver? When they rate you, one of the options is like a positive review for calling them Garçon.
In Mother Russia, Uber rates you. If you're new to the Ross Boland podcast, almost every episode of our show is broken down into segments, which you can find with time cues below in the description. Now, some episodes might have special guests or special topics or just break into complete insanity, and there will be exceptions to the rule, but you'll figure it out as you go. You do not have to have listened to a single one of the preceding episodes in order to enjoy RBP 227, but if you like today's show, there are 226 backlogged episodes for you to soak in and enjoy when you've got the time. Get in there and have at it. Today, though, we are going to be doing things like slightly differently, like almost like a rapid-fire segment type of deal. Lots of topics, many, many varied things will be discussed. Follow us on Instagram, at the Ross Boland Podcast. Every day we fill up our story with photos and videos sent in by our listeners. I collect most of those photos and videos through Snapchat, by the way. At WR Boland is my Snapchat. If you're trying to get featured in the Instagram story, that's the way to do it. We're also on Twitter at Ross Boland Pod. We're also on Facebook. You can find us if you're one of the middle-aged aunts of one of our listeners. RBP 227 is brought to you by Lisa. Your mattress, in my opinion, one of the most important purchases you will ever make in your life. It's like right there with your TV is the most important thing you buy for your apartment or your house. If you don't even remember where your mattress came from, or you wake up every morning knowing like this could be better, it's time to get change. It's time for freaking change. Buy yourself a Lisa. I wake up every morning feeling like a bajillion dollars on my hybrid by Lisa. You should join me. Lisa knows how important rest is to a better life. Lisa is the foundation of a healthier, happier you. And to Lisa, a bed is more than just a place to sleep. It's a place for relaxation and rest. They've been working with us for years now. Lisa has on RBP and on OCC. Incredibly supportive, incredibly cool company. They believe all people should have access to deep rest and relaxation. And as such, they make it easy for their customers to know they've made the right choice through their social impact initiatives tied to each purchase. One of the cool things they do is donate one mattress for every 10 they sell through organizations that work in causes like foster care prevention. To date, they've donated more than 33,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits. Lisa mattresses are made in the USA. In-home delivery and setup is available. Financing also available. Do not miss out, RBP gang. Live healthier, live happier by resting deeper. Order today and get 15% off any mattress for a limited time at leesa.com/RBP. Use the promo code RBP. That's LEESA.com/RBP. Promo code RBP. Keep in mind, you also get 100-night risk-free trial plus free shipping and returns. Some announcements quickly. It is the last day of September, closing out our September philanthropy initiative, supporting the Brookwood Community for Adults with Disabilities in Houston. You go to bit.ly/donate, the number 4, and then uppercase RBP, bit.ly/donate4RBP, to support James and Jeffrey Coker and the Brookwood Community's annual golf event. I don't know how much money they're up to now. Go to the website, check it out. Listen, this is going to be, if you didn't get a chance to give in September, do it now. If you can't do it now, they're going to be running this philanthropy, this fundraising event through December 31st. So you can go, if you're listening in the future, way after this episode dropped, and it's before December 31st, you can still give. Go to the website, check it out. Shouts to Jake, a.k.a. DubNation1523 on Twitch, for making it rain on me like a stripper last night. Also, Alerted Payload for helping us get rolling properly. Jared, he's been helping me out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're boys on Discord and in life.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
And I think we've said this before, maybe on Grand X Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Alerted Payload is like what you say before you're about to just like blast, right? Oh, alert, alert, payload coming.
Right? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
I don't think most people do that.
No.
No, no, just you. T-shirt designs, remember, keep those coming to me. I've gotten quite a few good ones in the inbox already. Ross at RossBolinPodcast.com. We're going to be doing merch in time for Christmas, which is very exciting. If you want to see something put on a hat or a shirt or whatever.
How many people have asked for my face on a piece?
Most of the emails I've gotten so far have been like, hey, I'd really just, if you could just make a shirt. It's just a shirt that's just repeat print of Jared's face all over it. It's just your head floating, but like 1,000 times.
Can I use this as a segue to say one thing?
Mm-hmm.
I really want somebody to draw an illustration of my face.
Like,
for free.
You want an artist.
Yes. Like a cartoon or?
Just like an illustration, kind of.
But for what purpose?
Oh, like a realistic?
For just like, you know, logo, like profile pictures and stuff.
Oh, so that you can use it in media.
Yes.
Okay, you want an artist to take time out of their day to draw your face, which is a scarring thing that they will never recover from.
Yes.
And then you want them to send this to you for free in exchange for nothing.
I will tag them in one tweet and one Instagram story.
That doesn't hold much value.
Let me ask you something, Jared. If this, let's say somebody agreed to do this, and hypothetically, they want like a good picture of you to go off of, or perhaps, but it has to be new, right? You're going to take a photo to get. Would you clean yourself up? Would you shave? Or would you
say nude or new?
New.
Okay.
New
and
the
said,
nude.
I thought you said nude.
I mean, honestly, it would probably be on them to hire a professional photographer, makeup, clothing, all the whole.
Oh, you want
yards.
Them to take care of all that too?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do.
And trim your beard. Maybe like wipe your face.
I mean, yeah, part of that's
bathe
the
you,
general
sponge bath.
Yeah, general like beauty department would handle that.
Right.
And I know. I mean, they might need to contract out a billing department because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of checks and balances here.
This sounds like it's becoming an entire company that needs to be built just to get you a photo of your of the drawing of your face.
I'm like Andrew Yang. I'm just starting venture capitalists off on the right foot. You know
who the hell is Andrew Yang?
I said that wrong.
Oh, geez. Let's not get political right now.
I meant to say I was starting entrepreneurs out on the right foot. I'm going to start somebody's business. Right here, by you doing it pro bono for me.
Oh, Andrew Yang is the Asian guy running for president.
He is.
Asian American guy, rather.
No, he's Asian. He's not Native American.
He's Asian American.
I said Asian American.
I thought you said Native American.
Not, no. No, no. I said Asian American. He's just an American.
You should Google Andrew Yang. That's what they say.
Of Asian descent. An American of Asian descent.
Yes.
Whatever. Fuck, yeah. He's a Democrat running for president. And that's all we have to say about that. First segment.
And now, Ross Boland's Animal of the Week.
Fat Bear Week, round two. Round two. Well, it's actually, I guess technically, it's Fat Bear Week again.
Yeah.
And it's round two for us here on RBP because we talked about it last year. So we definitely have to talk about it this year, right?
What episode was it for people who want to go back and listen to the first installment?
I don't know, but if you Google the Ross Boland podcast, Fat Bear Week, that might work.
It was an electric segment, I remember.
It was electric.
You had the whole crew on that.
If
episode.
You're not familiar with what the deal is here, Fat Bear Week 2019 is Katmai National Park's event they hold every year, right? Where the bears, they spend the summer gorging on 4,500 calorie salmon.
Same. Yeah.
Why? What? Why specifically 4,500? Is that like a particular salmon they go after that's like a high in calorie? Anyway, like
maintenance level calories.
That's probably the. I'm going to assume that's the caloric, like the average calories of one of the ones that swims upstream.
Okay, whatever.
You know, like the burst, ready to burst.
These boys, it's bulking season for them. Okay, they get very, very large. They become rotund. They become comically fat, and as a result, they hold Fat Bear Week, and one bear at the end wins. It's like a bracket. It's like March Madness, except with fat bears instead of college basketball teams.
What does he get? Is there a prize?
Yeah, they hire a personal trainer for him so that he can get back in shape
for free. Oh, that's
for the,
nice.
For the spring, because he's embarrassed about his weight.
He'll appreciate that.
Yeah. But this shit is very, very cool, okay? At the end of Fat Bear Week, there's only one champion, and they document the fatness of these bears, and then people vote on them. And Fat Bear Week 2019 is particularly heated, okay? Some years, there's clearly one bear or two bears, maybe, that are the fattest. They've clearly done the hardest work that season, put down the most 4,100 calorie salmon. This year, that's not the case. It's what? Stacked. It what? Is a stacked bracket, Jared. If can you go in here and get I a look see? At these guys, my yeah, you can see on the internet. I'll give you a couple of examples of big boys. Bear 747 back in 2018 was one of the guys.
He's
that,
as big as a 747.
Yeah, the pictures that I'm looking at are from 2018.
Hey, by the way, are you going to post those on the feed for everyone to see?
Which feed?
I guess the Instagram feed. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. We'll probably do so a Fat Bear Week post like. At some point for sure. Also, you can just Google it on your phone and look at it as I speak about it. Just put in Fat Bear Week. It'll pop up. They have names like Bear 747. Chunk is the name of Bear 32. His fat reserves are impressive. Look at the gut hang, dude. It almost touches the ground. They get so round that their legs become stubbier and they become even more funny looking. I mean, they just
yeah,
look,
that waddle is almost dragging.
I mean, they're just impressive. Anyway, I figured we might as well wrap this up into like a little short, quick animal of the week. Everybody needs to participate in Fat Bear Week. I think that goes without saying. You need to be I don't know where you vote. How do you vote?
Oh, well, here's how you Ross. Vote.
Oh, there are cams. You can watch them.
They're live cams.
Nuh-uh. That can't be right. We'll see. Dude, their website is bootleg. Bear cams. I'm going down a rabbit hole that I might never recover from.
I mean, is it bear cams or is it bear cams? Because that's a camboy yeah. site.
Oh.
You got to be careful with that spelling.
Is a bear still just a really hairy gay man?
I'm not familiar with the what specific terminology. Bear?
When you Google what is a bear, it says bears are carnivore mammals of the family Ursidae, huh? Okay. Interesting. That's our animal of the week, the bear. Next segment, Twitch pitch. I hope this thing has like one of those pop filters. Am I just going to keep saying pop over and over? Obviously, it doesn't out front. But is it like built in, or am I just like?
Well, that's the whole point of this on the mic.
Which one?
Oh, no, that's for wind. It's not for the pop.
Yeah, but it also works as a pop filter Shh. To some degree.
Pop filter, pop. Georgie,
what's your Twitch pitch, bitch?
Yeah. Do you like popcorn? Pop. You guys haven't seen it?
Nope.
Okay. Awkward.
That's really.
Listen, I got a gaming computer, a PC, over the weekend, and that part's not important. I won't explain the nerdy elements of it again. But what does matter is this: it has launched an entirely new element and wing of entertainment here at Bolin Media at twitch.com/BossRolin. BossRolin. That is the reverse of the R and the B in Ross Bolin. If you're clever enough to figure that out yourself, wow! You see what I did there, Jared? Dude. You see what I did. If you're not familiar with Twitch. Here's what it is. It's a streaming service where you can watch me play video games, but more importantly, if you don't give a shit much about video games, what it really does is turn into sort of a live podcast. It becomes a platform for me to entertain and discuss whatever I want, and for the most part so far, what we've been doing is I've been smoking bleezies, and then I've been talking out of my ass for like 3 hours while I play, and it's a lot of fun. I mostly play Apex Legends, if it matters to you, because I'll explain why. That's the game I'm good at. Everybody's like, play Fortnite, stream Fortnite. And you get way more viewers if you stream Fortnite, so I'll try it on occasion, but I'm really bad still.
He is. Ross can't build.
No, I can't build
at all.
Even like one story correctly right now, which is a necessity.
And I'll say right now, anybody who's like, dude, I'll teach you, I'm like Ross, neither of us wants to learn or cares.
Right. Yet. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to start doing Fortnite off stream until I get good enough to stream it because I think it's important to be able to add to this. Anyway, point is this. Mostly Apex Legends right now. It is super, super fun. You can chat with us in there. There's all kind of community interaction that gets built. I think so far, like, we tapped out last night at some point. There's like 56 people in there at once, which is a pretty good number for our first week. And we've got over 50 subscriptions already on twitch.com/bossroland. If you have Amazon Prime, here's a cool note. You can actually sign up for a Twitch account. It takes like 1 minute. And during the process, it'll be like, do you have Amazon Prime? And you'll say yes. And you'll get one free Twitch Prime subscription per month that you can use on twitch.com/bossroland to hang out with me and the rest of the RBP gang as we play Apex Legends, Fortnite, Counter-Strike Go. I downloaded WoW Classic. We'll see if I ever get stoned enough to dive back into that. We've got the new Modern Warfare coming very, very soon. Season 3 of Apex Legends starts on Tuesday. There's a lot going on. It is super exciting, and we're going to find more ways to use Twitch to broadcast more stuff as well. Like, we had an idea where maybe I watch Red Zone the first hour of Red Zone or something.
Oh, that would be tight.
Or the witching hour of Red Zone live on Twitch.
Can I talk about that real fast?
The best hour on television.
Yeah.
I had my first experience this weekend watching Red Zone.
Did you really?
Yeah, I tweeted about it. It felt like I just like railed a line of coke, man.
That is like, essentially, yes.
Is that an accurate description?
Yes.
Because I was watching it and I was like, and I had no idea what I was in for. And it was like all these screens, like rapid fire. Like, oh, okay, let's go to this game. Let's go to this game. And at one point, it was like four screens up at the same time.
Dude.
And everyone was getting ready to score. And I was like, I don't know where to look. Where do my eyes go?
Yeah, and there's like six different conversations happening at that point. Did you ever get the Octobox?
No,
there's eight boxes?
Oh, no, that sounds... Oh, no, see, that's overboard.
It's too much.
I can't do that. My head will explode.
AJ, it is a painful amount of football to try to process at one time.
But my life has changed. Like, I never want to go back now.
I'm telling you, dude. I'm with
you. The only way to watch... Like, all those 12 o'clock games?
Yeah.
The only way to watch them.
At the point where I consider everybody who doesn't watch Red Zone a complete and utter moron. I've only watched Red Zone for the past 3 years. I don't watch anything. I will have Red Zone on and then one game on TV, and that's how you do it.
I think that's probably a fair assessment, though, dude, because I had to have been one of the last holdouts, right? Like, I was for sure one of the morons that was super, super stubborn about this and refused to, like, acknowledge that you could watch football in a different way. We discussed on episode 221 my first Red Zone experience that I had, which was the first week of the NFL season this year, and... It truly is like doing a very high-powered amphetamine at noon.
It was weird because I was kind of groggy, like, getting into it. But when I started watching, I was, like, awake. I didn't even need coffee or caffeine or anything. I was, like, I was in there.
Chris Hansen comes in, and you're like, okay, I can feel this. It's kind of tight.
It's Scott Hansen?
No, it's Chris Hansen. It's Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen is...
Come take a seat. Why don't you just come take a seat, Jared?
It's not the same guy.
Jared, why don't you come take a seat?
Did you think it was the same guy?
As the To Catch a Predator guy?
Yes.
No, I just slipped on the name. Scott Hansen. Chris Hansen. You're looking at me like don't believe me.
Do you even know which
like
one
I
it is?
Like, I think they're the same person.
I think you did think that, because they kind of look similar.
Jim Henson.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Jim Henson starts talking, and you're like, okay, I can feel this. This is getting tight. And like 5 minutes in, you're like, whoa.
Where are those Muppets
coming from? Whoa, whoa, whoa. And by the time the first team start to get into the red zone, and Fozzie Bear comes out, you're like... What the fuck is going on? And then it's just nonstop.
By the
there,
way,
dude.
I would hate to be the sports analyst who has to host that show. Just like rapid fire for like, what, five, 6 hours?
He has the
hours?
Best job in the world.
I would literally suck a dick to have that job.
He has the world's best
You would like to do
job.
That?
Yeah, oh my God, dude. Yes.
Literally sure every 2 seconds, you're going from one game to the next.
I think
your brain can keep up with that.
Like, he probably makes millions of dollars.
So he's not the one switching the camera.
Let me look up Chris.
All his job is to provide commentary. He keeps up with it.
Let me look up Chris Hansen's salary real quick, and we'll see.
Oh, my God.
We'll see how much he makes, okay?
This is so unrelated to Red Zone.
Is it?
Chris Hansen is not the Red Zone guy.
Oh, Scott. Scott. Scott
Hansen's salary. Is Chris Hansen's salary?
Okay, Scott Hansen makes $200K a year to do that job.
That's pretty solid just to do that.
He has 8 hours a day, one day a week.
As of last year, he has an estimated net worth of over $3 million.
Is that the only thing he does?
He was like
he just does red.
He was like a reporter that, and then they're like, do this, and he did it, and now he's everybody's favorite person.
It's funny because so many people have Googled how much does Scott Hansen make that it's like the first thing that pops up when you Google his name, because everyone is sitting there watching like, this is the greatest job in the world. How much does this guy make? I have to know. And then they look it up and throw themselves through a window.
You know who should host Red Zone?
Me.
Chris Berman?
Nope. Chris Berman's trash.
Pardon me?
Chris Berman?
Yeah, I'm not a big Chris
dude,
Berman.
I'm so psyched that NFL Prime Time is back on ESPN+.
I've heard some questionable things about Chris Berman.
No. The highlight show where he does like the 2 minute thing.
I thought Berman retired.
But except he does it for the whole show. He covers every single game and he gives his whole like, you know, it's Chris Berman thing.
You know what I enjoy is Pardon My Takes version of Chris Berman.
Oh my
Berman
God.
Shit.
Yeah. Dude, I listen to that every morning.
That I'm here for, but I'm not here for actual Chris Berman commentating on anything that I have to watch ever again. When he left the commentating game, it was like a big day for me, AJ.
Well, they should let the PMT guys do it.
I'd be
so down for that.
I'm absolutely there for it. But
I don't know how they come up with those scripts.
I don't think that's going to happen, though, because their relationship with ESPN, it didn't go so well.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why they didn't have their own ESPN show.
They did for like one episode. You never saw this saga unfold. It was unbelievable. It was called the part like Van Talk or something. Barstool Sports Van Talk. Yeah. I don't remember, but it was one episode.
Well, they still do the Van episodes, except that I guess it's just not.
No,
that now.
This was
an ESPN
television.
Show.
Oh, it was on
this
ESPN
not
though.
Through Barstool. This
was not a podcast. It was a partnership with ESPN on ESPN. They did an episode. And then it got canceled because so many people in the outrage machine...
They're too offensive.
...brought Portnoy. And it wasn't even the show that was offensive. The content on the show wasn't offensive. It was about Barstool.
Samantha Ponder is what they...
Yeah,
what
Samantha
credited
Ponder...
...as bringing it down.
Well, she sort of... yeah, she sort of lit the match, if you will. And it's she's an ESPN employee, obviously. And she was unhappy with the way Barstool in the past has handled their treatment of women, allegedly. And it unraveled from there. But anyway... Yes, they're Chris Berman. I love actual Chris Berman. Not so much. RBP 227 is also brought to you by Bespoke Post. My favorite box of awesome available at Bespoke Post right now is probably the throwing knives, because throwing knives are pretty tight just by definition.
They have throwing knives?
Yeah. The box is called Bullseye, but they've also got like one called Huddle, which is a badass tailgate kit with a football and a cooler and a mini pocket blanket and a cocktail aging kit and so much more. They've got all kinds of boxes, a lot of cool stuff, especially if you drink or you smoke cigars or all kinds of different hobby-themed boxes that are super great. With their box of awesome, Bespoke Post sends guys only the best stuff every month. They test everything in the box of awesome themselves, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, outdoor gear. Every product gets put through the ringer before it gets put inside a monthly box of awesome. And to get started, it's very simple. All you have to do is go take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up. You can skip a month or cancel at any time. Each box only costs $45, but it has over $70 worth of gear inside. You get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code RBP at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. Code RBP for 20% off your first box. Super cool Bespoke Post. Check it out next segment.
Grab your light. This is Stop the Wikipedia when you're high.
Oh, so this could probably be actually, Jared, AJ, a serial killer you haven't heard of as well. Are you familiar with Ed Kemper, AJ?
I can't say that name rings a bell.
Okay. Jared?
Mindhunter.
Okay, yes. As a result of Mindhunter, I am very familiar with Ed Kemper. For some of you, it might still count as a serial killer you haven't heard of. If you watch Mindhunter, you're for sure familiar with Ed Kemper, as he's one of the serial killers.
Is that a good show, by the way?
Season one was fantastic. Season two
kind
of
fell off.
Was a little bit of a letdown for me.
I've heard the opposite from people.
I have heard it too. I've heard the opposite from people too. That
I haven't seen it yet.
They liked season two much more, which is, different strokes for different folks. Scott Hansen, Chris Hansen,
Jim Henson.
Jim Henson.
Waka waka.
But yeah, Ed Kemper is a fantastic the guy who plays the representation of Ed Kemper on that show is unbelievable.
Did he win an Academy Award for that?
Or an Emmy? You don't win an Academy Award for TV.
That's weird that I consider Netflix like more cinematic than TV.
What is wrong with you?
Shut up.
No, you don't. what an absurd argument to make. But no, I said the same thing. We were talking about it on OCC. I was like, this guy has to win a fucking Emmy for this. This is unbelievably terrifying. I feel like I'm sitting in a room with an actual serial killer. Ed Kemper is very well known after Mindhunter. He, let me pull up a little bit of information on him for you here. The man, first of all, gigantic, 6'9".
Massive.
Okay. Huge human being. If you're going to be a serial killer, I'd prefer that you be small in stature. For the love of God. Because the thing I don't need is like the shadow, your shadow approaching me as you come to murder me.
Looming over your head.
I want it to be smaller.
Or how about this? When I'm inside the shower and I see if somebody enter the bathroom and I see their figure,
yeah.
Let it be like
a small person.
Yeah, maybe like I'd say
like a child
under 5'10".
Yeah, a comfortable 5'8".
Instead of them just peeking their head over the top of your curtain, like
yeah, dude, this guy walks in and he's eyeball fucking looking down on you over the curtain, just and he has a stash and he looks like he'd watch you shower and he's 6'9". He's the co-ed killer. Okay, he's a sicko.
Yeah,
he's a necrophile.
He only killed people named Ed two at the same time. Co-ed. He killed two Eds.
That's not what that means.
Hey, what's a necrophile?
Are we allowed to say when a man loves a dead woman very much?
Oh, okay.
Dead woman. No, it's when you have a sexual attraction or a sex act that involves corpses.
That's a
you learn something new every day. Right. He was the co-ed killer. He killed 10 people, including I believe his parents.
Yes, I think he did.
And grandparents, perhaps?
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, paternal grandparents and mother. He killed them, all them. Killed them all. He was actually arrested, like many serial killers, if you go back and read about them or learn about them or watch documentaries on them, many of them had extreme criminal histories. And it's not like a lot of them were in trouble from a very young age. Like Ed Kemper was in trouble at 15, or actually not, I wouldn't say he was in trouble. He was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. He was mentally ill. And he was sentenced to a state hospital for the criminally insane at that age. He was let out at 21. Obviously, things didn't go well at the state hospital. When he got out at 21, after convincing psychiatrists, he was rehabilitated. And basically what that did, it taught him how to come off as non-threatening.
Well, they're also sociopaths.
Yeah, he used the state hospital.
That's what most serial killers are.
As an opportunity to learn how to be
like
a better serial killer. So he came out, and as a 6'9" guy, it takes a lot to come off as non-threatening. He learned how to do that, and he rolled from there, and he was picking up young female hitchhikers and luring them to his vehicle and driving them to secluded areas and then murdering them. Then he would take their corpses back to his apartment to be decapitated, dismembered, and then he would have sexes with them. Their dead bodies.
After he cut off the head and all the limbs?
Yeah, I guess he didn't want him looking at him while he was doing this okay. stuff to
him. I mean, that's
Ed had serious issues.
Yeah, he does.
Here's the crazy story, okay? The reason we're talking about this disturbing human being. It turns out Ed Kemper, after he was incarcerated, after he's caught for all this shit, right? He's incarcerated in 1973. He becomes a coordinator of a prison program called the Volunteers of Vacaville, or the inmates referred to it as the Blind Project. Since 1960, volunteers at California's Medical Facility State Prison have been narrating books for the visually impaired.
Oh, that's cool.
Men, women, and children all over America.
Yeah.
They've done bestsellers. They've done textbooks.
It's like Audible.
So, yeah. Science fiction, westerns, children's books, cookbooks, mysteries. Ed Kemper personally spent over 5,000 hours in the recording booth and had more than 4 million feet of tape to his credit as an audiobook narrator.
Damn.
Several hundred audiobooks have been narrated by the serial killer Ed Kemper, including The Glass Key, Petals on the Wind, Flowers in the Attic, Merlin's Mirror, The Rosary Murders, Sphinx, and even Star Wars. I don't know what any of those were before Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't either. I almost was like, it's one of my favorite epistolary novels.
You know, Jared, I was reading Flowers in the Attic last night, and I was thinking to myself, this is such a beautiful voice. I wasn't reading it. I was having it read to me. It was such a beautiful voice. I was like, this man, he's just so peaceful. It was Ed Kemper.
Damn.
I'm just kidding.
It's crazy.
I wasn't listening to it.
That it happened. You happened upon it while reading one of your books.
But can you imagine? Don't you feel like Ed Kemper's voice probably carries with it some type of fucking... Like, I don't want... If I don't want AirPods in my ears and then Ed Kemper speaking a book into my brain.
I'll be afraid he's going to creep up behind me.
I mean, especially if your name's Ed, you know, you don't want to fuck around with Ed Kemper. Wait, his name is Ed.
Because he was the co-ed killer. It was self-hate. It was self-loathing that drove him to his crimes, Jared.
His name was Ed.
He was the co-ed killer.
He only killed... It was one guy named Ed, because they were the two Eds, him and the other Ed.
Ed, Ed, and Eddie.
What Ed, about the third? I love that show. Plank. It was Plank.
But oh my God, you think Plank did all of this?
Yes. I think Ed Kemper got framed, and it was Plank.
Wow.
So Ed Kemper was the... is that his name, Ed Kemper?
Kemper, yeah.
He was the inspiration for Ed, Ed, and Eddie?
You know what? Oddly,
I always wondered where that cartoon came from.
Oddly,
where that idea was spawned.
Yeah, I don't think it was Ed Kemper that was the actual dude. I'm looking at.
Well, I thought that's what we were getting at. I thought they were talking about.
It has to do with the cover up by the deep state with the globalists and Plank was involved.
Yes, that part actually does ring true. Yeah. RBP 227 is also brought to you by Liquid IV, the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. If you're trying to drink more water, Liquid IV actually hydrates you 2 to 3 times faster and more efficiently than water alone, with an added bonus of vitamin C, B3, B5, B6, and B12. Huge for tailgating season. Hit a Liquid IV in the morning before you head out. Another one when you get back. Boom. You're way better off than all your boys who did not crush Liquid IV like champions. Feel good, do good. Liquid IV has donated more than 1.5 million sticks to date to places like Haiti, Uganda, Puerto Rico, most recently Nepal. With each purchase you make, Liquid IV donates a serving to someone in need around the world. This is the fastest growing wellness brand, Liquid IV. You can find them anywhere, even Costco. You can find their hydration multiplier sold at all Costco's nationwide. Their products utilize cellular transport technology, otherwise known as CTT, #CTT, a specific ratio of glucose, pure cane sugar, sodium.
What's the ratio?
Mined salt and potassium. It's a secret. It's much like the recipe to Colonel Sanders' chicken.
I do know what 15 of the herbs and spices are.
They kept it lock and they keep
it lock
and
keep. How many are there
total? Keep it lock and keep.
There's 27
herbs.
That's kind of hard to believe.
14 spices.
Wait, what?
What?
I don't know, actually. Do you know what? By the way, here's the thing. I've always wondered. I've been trying to figure this out for months now. The secret ingredient. Has anybody here been to Summer Moon Coffee?
No.
No. Is that here in Austin?
It is. It's in Texas, mostly. It started here in Austin.
Oh, wait. Yes, I have been to Summer Moon. It's delicious.
They have this thing called Moon Milk, and mm-hmm. it is the best thing you can... At any coffee shop I've ever been to, the singular best, like, secret thing that's specific to that coffee shop... It's unbelievable. It's rich. It is sweet, but not too sweet. It is delicious.
How do you figure I explain this, that we spent a minute and a half on Summer Moon Coffee in the middle of the Liquid IV read?
I figure you just don't tell them. Anyways, there's 7 ingredients. I don't know what they are.
Is that similar to the cloud foam at Starbucks? You know what I'm talking about?
What the fuck? What the fuck? I don't know. I have no idea.
We can move on.
About? What the fuck is wrong with you?
We can move on from the coffee.
I'm trying to run a business.
Sometimes
here.
I feel dehydrated and I drink Liquid IV and I feel revitalized.
Good. Thank you, Jared, for plugging us back to where we need to be.
Liquid After I IV, drink coffee, I get dehydrated.
This shit is phenomenal. It can provide the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. My mom is obsessed with Liquid IV. Every time I go back to her house, there's an entire case of it in her freaking pantry, and I love it. I like to crush it after or before I play basketball every day or whatever, before yoga where I sweat my ass off or whatever. I love Liquid IV, and I know you will too. Right now, RBP gang, get 25% off at liquidiv.com when you use my code Ross at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order on Liquid IV's website. Go to liquidiv.com, enter my promo code Ross, get your savings, start getting better hydration. That's liquidiv.com, promo code Ross. Don't wait. Start properly hydrating today. We do not have a discount for Summer Moon Coffee. Next segment, Jared's list of profound questions. So, Jared came up with I hit him with a prompt like 2 weeks ago. I was like, J-Bone, we're going to do this segment. Come up with some profound questions that we can discuss. I'm going to come up with some too. And then we never did it. Well, this is us doing it.
Yep.
And Jared has a list, and he's going to ask us each of these questions, and then the three of us are going to respond to them in turn.
Okay.
Not in turn, just
I'll
as
answer
we
last.
As we please.
It'll go Ross, AJ, me.
Okay. Okay.
First question. Can you, personally, Ross,
mm-hmm.
prove to me that a cucumber and a zucchini are not the same thing?
No, because to cut like the, what would the scientific experiment be that I could even run to like prove to you? I don't have the knowledge base to get into the genus and whatnot of the fauna.
Like try to describe one and how it differs from the other. It's extremely difficult.
I can't even describe a zucchini really, like, because I don't even know if I've ever seen one not prepared.
Ross doesn't even eat vegetables, so he doesn't even know what
that
those
is
things
true.
Are.
That's true.
Do you know what a zucchini is or a cucumber?
They're vegetables.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
They're cock-shaped vegetables.
I actually think technically they might be fruit.
What?
Look up if a cucumber is a fruit. It's got seeds.
I can tell you this, though, in the meantime. They do taste different.
Yes, a cucumber is a fruit. What the fuck?
Yeah, so tomatoes are also fruits. The mainstream media, the lamestream media.
Okay, my answer is no. It's not very profound if I can provide one word answer. What about you, AJ?
AJ?
Well, no, I just said they taste different.
Yeah, but how could you describe that to me?
Cucumbers taste more like water. Zucchinis have more of like I'm trying to think of the right words. So they
well,
taste
I asked the question.
It is profound.
They do taste different, but like you need to be able to convince me. If I look at it, they look the exact same. If you could hold up one cucumber, one zucchini, and you say which one is in which hand, and I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Oh, why? Okay, what about this?
You could cut it down the middle. Show me a halvening of each of them.
They look the exact same.
I would
same
not
to
be able to tell you that.
I mean, they look the exact same.
Zucchinis usually come with that little root on top.
That is true.
Here's if I had to do like a thing to remember it by, I'd say like zucchini white guy, cucumber black guy.
Is this
what's your next question?
Okay. and my answer to that is AJ is right. I'm pretty sure the zucchini had the little root, but if you don't have the little root on there, I can't tell them apart. I would be able, if I bit into it, I would know because I know what a cucumber
taste
tastes
you can
like.
Tell though, right?
Yeah, but if you just look at them,
they're the same.
They're the same thing.
By the way, I thought AJ almost had it. Like he was rolling.
And then
I thought he was about to be a food critic, and then it just fucking.
He saw both of us looking at him,
and
he just froze.
He shit the bed.
Froze.
Yeah,
I couldn't handle the pressure.
Everybody's shit in the bed lately.
Yeah.
Next question.
Do you think humans who do bad things for good reasons are bad people?
No, I don't. Because this happens all the time. Well, the good reason has to be defined by me, right?
Yet.
Not by that person.
Yes.
I have to define it as a good reason because typically people convince themselves they're doing things for good reasons and they're in fact doing them for the wrong reasons. Anyone on the outside would judge it otherwise, but they can convince themselves that they're doing it for the right reasons. Yeah, it's a tough thing though, man.
Now, how about this?
Hmm.
What if somebody does something for what they think is a bad reason, but you think it's a good reason? But they think they did it for... They intentionally did it.
Then I guess we'll just have conflicted views of them.
So you'll be like, hey, you're a good guy. And be like, no, dude, I'm a shitbag.
Yeah. I really like you, man. I look up to you a lot. I fucking hate myself. What's wrong with you? I suck. I'm awful.
It's like if some kid came up to you and he was like, hey, man, I just smoked some weed before I went to school. And then, like... He thinks it's a bad thing, but to you, that's like, it's nothing.
What?
You know what I mean?
That was the worst example in the history of the podcast.
You want Ross to just publicly admit he wants kids to smoke weed before they go to school?
A, no. B, no. C, no. Absolutely fucking not. What?
Couldn't think of a better example.
Jesus Christ, AJ. Next question. You don't
Ross
even get to answer
Bolin
this one.
Says, wait, smoke before you go to school.
What was your explanation?
Yours.
Oh.
I agree. It's I mean, good
you know
and bad.
What I always
subjective.
Think of is like, if my dogs get taken and they're like, you have to rob a bank. I'm robbing the bank. I'm going to try anyway. I'm going to fail and die.
You wouldn't like go to the police?
No, if they were like,
I would think
if they
would
were
think
like, you go to the police, we cut the dog's heads off, you can't go to the police, then I'm going to rob the bank.
Dude, who cut a dog's head off?
Yeah. Terrorists?
That's pretty... pretty cold-blooded.
They cut a human's heads off. Yeah. Terrorists will cut anything's head off, man.
Yeah. They'd even cut the root off.
Hashtag stop terrorism.
I agree. Next question. And this is the one I'm most interested to hear both of your answers about.
Okay.
Let's say you are walking down the street and you find a bunch of loose dollar bills on the ground in a pile. How much money would it have to be for you to consider reporting it to the police instead of just keeping it? For me, personally, if I find, you know, if you find a $20 bill on the ground, you look around, nobody's around, you're like, fuck yeah, that's my money. I'm never going to... report it. I'm never going to tell anybody. But if I go and there's a pile of like $5,000 on the ground,
okay,
I'm going to know that that's not just going to like be something I can just rush under the
roof. Isn't there a point in Breaking Bad where they discover like a big, like he sees somebody driving by and throw a bag out the window or something, and then he goes and grabs the bag and it's filled with money and drugs?
See, that's different from this hypothetical, because the main thing here is that you have no idea where this money came from.
Or you're just like walking down the street.
Okay, this is not a No Country for Old Men situation where it's like, you know, this was a drug deal gone wrong and you found this briefcase full of cash.
This is the same thing as finding $1 bill, which obviously you would keep, but how much money does it have to be until you
before
start
you turn it in?
Exactly.
Probably $100, man. I think if it's 100, I'm looking around like, oh fuck, I don't know, this isn't mine.
I'll look at you good Samaritan.
But it also depends how close I am to the reporting. Like, if I'm in a parking lot and there's 8 stores, like, I'm not gonna go store to store, like, figure out, hey, anybody? No, if it's over, the 100 in the parking lot is mine. Nobody's ever getting that back.
Because then there's people who have malicious. The only thing you could do is spend your time to go store to store and go, I found money in the parking lot. Tell me how much it was.
Fuck that. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, really, dude, if it's situational, it's not about amount for me. It's about situation. Like, if I'm in a store and it's obvious that this money has fallen out right here and it was probably somebody in the store still, then yeah, I'm going to take it to the front of the register and turn it in. If I'm in the parking lot, that's
my money.
Well,
then they're going to keep it.
Probably.
You got to find the manager.
But the thing is that I'm not carrying it with me. Like, it might be a teensy tiny hit of karma, but it's still there, you know?
I was thinking about this, like, if I go and I'm walking down the street and I find $350, like...
But you're in the street, dude. What are you even going to do?
I don't know.
Put a sign up? Hey, everybody's going to say it's theirs.
Yeah.
You go to the police and the police can have it and they keep it.
Dude,
and then after,
$350?
After a while, it becomes yours, legally. That there's like a way that to make people turn in money.
Okay.
The police have a system where it becomes yours.
See... Here's the other thing. You and I just have totally different perspectives. Because if it was like $25,000, I am less likely to think about, well, shit, I need to turn this in. I'm more likely to think about, this is a life-changing amount of money for me.
You could buy a new car.
Could buy a new lot of things. That's,
but it's also going to change somebody else's life in the opposite direction. Think about the net good of this. Your life gets better. Their life gets equally as worse.
Their life is already shitty. They have $25,000 in cash that they left in a parking lot.
What if that was their grandma kept that in her bed and it's all the savings that she willed down?
It's about being able to convince myself that I did enough. And in this situation, there isn't anything to do.
Report to the police and you get to keep it after a little bit of time.
I don't report anything to the police. I'm not going to a police station and being like, I found money. What happens? That's how you end up in prison and there's a documentary on you 15 years later because your dumbass turned in $25,000 in cash to the police and they fucking pin something on you.
For me, I have to go in the negative direction. When you say that's life-changing money, like, yes, in both ways. There's no way.
Yeah.
If you take that money, their life is exactly as bad as yours is good. So you've just shifted it from being you even.
But they've
them
already
up.
Lost it. It's already gone to them. So they're like,
but they're probably looking for it. So this brings me to a point I had on this, and that's like, what other item in the world is there to where the second it falls out of your pocket in public, you lose all claim to it?
Aside from money,
if
you mean?
I leave my phone, you're not just going to take my phone and start using my phone.
Okay, this is a very good point.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's probably the next best one.
Yeah.
It's like if you walk down the street and like some weed fell out of your pocket or like an 8-ball or like some, you know, some ecstasy pills or whatever.
Yeah, probably just the weed's the safest of the four.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of found drugs, I found weed on a golf course once. I told that story at some point. But yeah, found drugs, those are then yours. So I guess like mostly like illegal stuff if you find.
Like what about food?
Legal?
Food is another thing.
If you eat my food that fell on the ground, you're just fucking weird. Like, you can keep it. That's just odd.
Okay, you said found. You didn't say on the ground.
Yeah, you didn't. Yeah, you didn't say
both.
That.
Either one. If you eat my food that I left on the ground, I probably left it there because I was trying to feed a bird or something.
Well, if you left like a box of pizza and it was only like half empty.
All right, here's what I'm saying. If you're at my apartment, my house, you leave your half of a sandwich in a fucking leftover thing, that's mine.
That's just socially absurd.
First of all, I'd be like, what the fuck, Jared? Why'd you leave this half a sandwich here?
Well, what if you and I got dinner, went back to your house, and then I would like left it in your fridge? I've done this before where I've almost left leftovers in somebody's fridge at their house.
Okay, but to your point, when you drop money, and somebody else picks it up, there's like an ownership claim change.
Yes.
And that does not happen with, like, if I drop my backpack, you can't just pick it up and be like, mine!
Yeah, it's my laptop, it's
my... Finders keepers!
Yeah, like, what?
Like, no, dude, crazy? That's not how it works.
You do that if they're faster than you.
That is weird. You got any more?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to answer.
Oh, yeah, sorry, AJ.
I have no limit.
You would take, if you found $1 million in a duffel bag that said property of...
Walter White.
Regis Philbin. Property of Regis. Do you take Regis Philbin's money, knowing that he needs it for medical care in his later years?
Dude, I will take... I don't care if the Yakuza wants to come after me.
Okay.
Like, let's do it.
That is absurd.
Let's do... I'm Asian, too.
You would take $5,000 to get in and get killed by the Yakuza?
I'm Asian, too. We'll get along. I can explain myself.
I don't think they want an explanation. I think they want to kill you.
The Yakuza do not play Zay.
That is absurd, AJ. Absurd, I say.
I remember...
The Yakuza or the Mafia?
I've seen
Russia. Which you feel is more threatening?
I would rather go up against...
The Yakuza is pretty...
Dude, this is an easy question. You're a white guy. What's wrong with you? You picked the Mafia.
Why does me being a white guy... I feel like they're both...
Your
dangerous.
Odds are better.
Oh, I mean, maybe.
You really think... It's an odd thing to disagree with.
You think the Yakuza
I feel
are
like
more
I've got a better shot.
White guy?
I've got a better shot with the same race of illegal criminals than a different one.
I have no idea. I feel like...
You feel like you got better chances with a different race.
I mean, I don't think the race really comes in... I think it's just like...
It comes into play if it's an all-Asian gang or an all-white gang.
If they don't speak English, I'm probably boned, yeah. But if they speak English,
I'll give
my
you a better hypothetical. You're in prison. You've got two choices. Deal with the white supremacist gang or the black guys. Jared, pick. Go.
Everybody's listening.
And that one, you pick the black guys. You pick the black guys. Don't join the white supremacist prison gang, folks.
I'm not joining a white supremacist
prison
gang.
By the way, if you want to learn about white supremacist prison gangs and what happens to you when you join them, watch the show Oz on HBO. I'll give you one spoiler. Spoiler alert, they throw weights down on your neck and then poop on your face.
We talked about that in an earlier episode.
Super messed up.
Very ridiculous show.
Super messed up. Next question.
Do you think you can pretty much tell what someone does for a living just by looking at them?
Absolutely not.
If I had 10 random men and women stand in a line, could you go down? And I'll even give you this. They're wearing their uniform, but it's not a typical uniform. It's not like, oh, you're
Here's
wearing a janitor's
problem.
Onesie. Like, they're wearing what they would wear to work. That's
not like the YMCA walking in.
Yeah,
like,
I want...
Oh, you're an Indian. You're a cowboy.
Native American, AJ.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I want to say 70%. Of Americans dress the exact same fucking shit every day and have a million bajillion different jobs, and they all wear a suit and tie and look the exact fucking same.
I don't think as many people wear suit and ties as...
You live downtown, right?
Or you did. Close-ish, yeah.
You used to, right?
Yeah, people aren't wearing... People are wearing like khakis or jeans and like a tucked in polo or button down.
Okay, well, Austin is like a weird
business casual.
Yeah, we're
Austin
casual
doesn't have a ton
city.
Of finance.
We're a very casual city, though.
Yeah, we are.
I feel like in New York or whatever, like
a lot of suits.
If you're in the business district,
oh yeah, you see nothing
cities,
but suits and ties.
Joseph A. Bank,
lots of Joseph A. Bank. Yes, yeah,
a lot of Wall Street guys.
That's what makes it really tough. Is like, okay, but based on that, and here's what I could pick: like, you have a corporate job versus you're an artist versus you're a musician versus you're a police officer. I think I could get, in general, like public works versus, you know what I mean?
Like creatives.
Like a corporate, but I don't think I could get, here's what you do, because it's like, what, an accountant versus
a
lawyer
versus like a PR guy?
Who knows?
I wouldn't be able to tell.
They all look the fucking same, yeah. So.
Is that what you think too, AJ?
Yeah, I agree. I have no idea. I mean, that's just like if people run into Ross and they have no idea who he is or what he does, they'll never guess what he does.
I keep having Uber drivers ask me if I'm a rapper. I'm not kidding.
Maybe that.
It's happened three times.
I mean...
You're a rapper? Because they can see that I'm going to the studio. It says on my destination.
You would ever just go with it?
And I'm like, I'm the opposite of a rapper. I'm a podcaster.
How about when you have your glasses on, they all think you're just a professional cuck, right?
Yeah, they're like, we're taking you to... Go get cucked again, right? That's what you do. Hey, what's up, Ross? Another cucking coming tonight? I'm like, yeah, same old, same old.
You know how it is. And they're like, but maybe I could bang, you know.
Yeah, it's my job. That's what they pay me for. And then I put in my AirPods and listen to Hank Williams Jr.
And the final question is, sports is just reality TV that you can gamble on, right? Like, in the end, if you think about it.
More and more, I've come to believe that sports and reality TV have a lot more in common than people are willing to admit.
Sports is reality TV for dudes.
The NBA in particular.
That you can gamble on.
Is the most dramatic and ridiculous league in terms of like the player drama that goes down. It's very reality TV-esque.
Partly because they lean into it. They're like,
oh, for sure. No,
they're
no,
like,
the NBA,
I can make myself famous. I can be a celebrity outside of athletics, unlike every baseball player. Like, Mike Trout is probably the greatest athlete in any American sport right now.
I disagree. Nope.
It's also the richest.
Yeah, but I couldn't recognize him walking down the street.
I could now because we've had this argument for 2 years as a society, but it would be 50-50. I'd either have the moment and realize, like, oh, shit, it is Mike Trout, or I'd be like another white guy.
But I could recognize Swaggy P, who's not that good in his sport.
Yeah. Well, the NBA did a masterful job of marketing, figuring out social media, and finding ways to embrace that sort of like reality TV element of the league in a healthy way, though. The NFL does it in the unhealthy way, which is like the stories you hear and the shit that pops up and Vontaze Burfict and like it's always bad shit in the NFL. It's
I never thought of it that way.
The NFL is like the Jersey Shore of reality TV, whereas like the NBA is like Survivor, yeah, something more wholesome. Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, like Mike, the situation just got out of jail for tax fraud.
Yeah. It's always trash shit. Like it's just trash. It's
you know,
always
even
bad.
In golf you get some of that too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, especially nowadays.
And depending on how deep you are into the golf world, there's like layers to it too.
Exactly. Well, the service layer, everybody makes fun of golf because they say there's no competition because all the best players all are best friends and they root for each other. A lot of people hate golf because they say there's all it is just a bunch of rich white dudes supporting each other.
Oh, I think it's all people hate golf because it's like they're like, oh, you can drink and be fat to play it. This isn't a sport.
I mean, not only that, it's like, hey, you're. Job is going to the nicest country clubs in the world and playing a leisure sport.
I have never heard this angle on golf, ever.
Really?
No, what?
Are you serious?
All professional athletes go to the nicest places in the world. And
no, these are leisure destinations.
These are actually the best places.
Plays golf, you think it's leisurely to go compete in a professional golf tournament?
As somebody who's competed in multiple disc golf tournaments,
leisurely.
I can say
you would say it's leisurely.
I know.
It's not even leisurely to play fucking casual golf, Jared. It's hell. It's war out there.
I wouldn't know. I never played golf.
It's like life on that course, man. You get your fucking ass kicked, and you got to stand up and fight back.
Okay. But you're at a country club. Imagine this. It's like if every game of NBA was played in the arena at the MGM Grand.
You also need like perfect weather conditions. Like yes. It can't be raining and shit. Like it needs to be. You know. No, golfers have it great.
The globalists come in, they spray the clouds so it doesn't rain.
In terms of, why do the globalists keep coming up today, Jared? In terms of, I guess, perks to your profession, as a professional athlete, golf has a lot. The travel is cool as shit. You go to the coolest places in the world.
With great views.
With incredible views. Think about like Pebble Beach, you know. Think about like
Kiowa.
Abu Dhabi.
You have a hat from Kiowa.
I do have a hat from there. Shouts to my brother-in-law, Trevor, who gave me that hat.
So would you guys say that if you had to choose a professional sport that you could play in, hypothetically, it would be golf?
I mean, I'm really close to being a professional disc golfer, so I mean, if I had to pick another one, probably regular golf, yeah.
I still think I would pick baseball because of the pay and because of the...
No concussions.
I feel like you can get sort of like, well, damn, I don't know, because then the travel is so brutal.
Basketball. I thought you would say basketball.
I take it back.
You can't tell me that wouldn't be fun. Even if you're not good, but just being out there.
It's still, I feel like the golf, every one of them is more of a grind than people realize. Baseball,
oh, sure.
Particularly being the worst grind-wise.
Well, it's a professional sport.
Basketball, so. But the season being really long and there being a ton of games. Like basketball, sure. 83, that's a long grind of a season. I feel like golf.
It's a mental grind.
It is, but it's less travel. It's like you go and you play there for a week. You know what I mean? You get a week. It's not every night you're flying again. It's not, it feels less like psycho all the time craziness.
Like you still have time to go back and be with your family.
Yeah,
Brooks
Koepka
doesn't even practice. Brooks Koepka,
he just goes out there.
He'll do like, you know, his practice rounds, but he doesn't, anytime outside of that, he doesn't play golf.
And
unless it's a major.
He's not the first one of these guys to have, well, he's the best example ever now, but like Bubba Watson never had any formal golf training.
Yeah, he just learned on it. He just picked up a club and learned. That's why his swing is absurd.
It's ridiculous.
I wrote a very long think piece.
Millions of dollars.
I wrote a very long think piece on this man.
Yeah. Anyway, was that the last question?
Yeah, it was.
It was? That's tight.
You said you had some too?
Nah. That was Jared's list of profound questions.
Now the funny thing is, you notice Ross doesn't have any. He's like, okay, Jared, for this segment, we're both going to come up with questions. I wrote mine. He never wrote his. That's why we didn't do it. That's why you bumped it, isn't it?
Look, I was high, and I had this idea, and I sent it to Jared. Jared executed. I didn't. We still got to do it on the show, and I didn't have to do any work. Everybody won. Next segment. Listen to this if you started fantasy football 0-4.
Is this another speech? We're doing another one?
So you started fantasy football 0-4. Wow. Everyone thought 0-3 was bad and was genuinely sad and embarrassed for you. But now this? You posted the low league score this week, didn't you? You sad worm of a human being, rolling around in the filth of others on the ground. You make me sick. To be winless after a full month of football? You realize it's been a full month, right? You wasted an entire month of the year, of your life, and you came out with zero wins to show for it. Holy shit, that is depressing. The good news, worm people, is that you're not alone. I too am 0-4, a winless worm wiggling my way through life. I too posted the low score in my league this week. Every facet of my team completely shitting the bed in Kendall Roy-like fashion. My God, it was an abomination of a performance, a total abortion of fantasy scoring. I don't even know if a single fucking one of these losers scored a touchdown. I stopped checking my app before the first half of the first round of games was over. I, too, am a loser. But losers must unite, stick together, strive for purpose with hands and heads held high. For there is still purpose, friends, in our existence, believe it or not. I provide you now with your new directive. Unleash hell. Wreak havoc in your league. For this season may be lost for you, but misery loves company, and it's time to spread the pain and bad vibes with everyone else in your league. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. The wise men at their end know dark is right because their words have forked no lightning they. Do not go gentle into that good night. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright their frail deeds might have danced in Green Bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight and learned too late they grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Grave men near death who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, there on that sad height. Curse, bless me now with your fierce tears, I pray. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. RBP 227 is also brought to you by Hims. You've heard us talk about Hims and how they're helping guys look their best. If you haven't yet, it's time to see what they're all about. The problem that I present you with is that 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35, right? That's not good. And once you start to notice this issue developing for yourself, maybe that your hair is thinning, your scalp is crawling backward, whatever, your scalp, your hairline, it can be too late. The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. So get a handle on those precious locks now. It makes no sense that dudes turn to weird solutions or do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science. And that's where our sponsor, 4hims.com, comes in. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. An incredibly easy process. Take you just a few minutes to walk through. They're going to connect you with real doctors online. You answer a few questions. A doctor reviews. They determine if it's right for you and can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. No more awkward in-person doctor visits or long pharmacy lines. Hims was created by a guy who knows that some men's health conversations are easier online than in person, right? So order now. RBP gang, you can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. Subject to doctor's approval. See website for full details and safety information. This could save you hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy or somewhere else. Go to 4hims.com/RBP. That's FORHIMS.com/RBP. 4hims.com/RBP. Next segment. Absolutely outrageous web service. So my buddy Eric, shouts to Eric if he listens, and reverse shouts if he doesn't, but one love either way. He sent me this website over the weekend and I was flabbergasted. It's called thespinner.net. Okay? Now, you don't have to go to it. First of all, I'm not sure if it's safe. Jared, you should go to it. But here's what it does, okay? The spinner is a service. This is a new high or low in the age of algorithms and technology, depending on how you look at it. It's a service that enables you to subconsciously influence a specific person. So let's say I decide I want to influence AJ, okay? By controlling the content on the websites he or she usually visits. The targeted person gets repeatedly exposed to hundreds of items which are placed and disguised as editorial content. You can select the message you want to deliver to the specific person. That person is exposed to 10 articles on major social networks and news sites over a three-month period.
This is fucking fucked up, kind of.
The articles are picked by the spinner's editor team in order to support the desired narrative. And when you go to the site, what you'll see is campaigns like, get back with your ex. Let's say I decide I want AJ to propose to me. I can serve ads to this dude to get that type of idea in his head.
All you gotta do is ask.
Let's say I have a video game addiction.
You do.
And people won't get off my back about playing video games too much. I can serve ads that show, hey, video games are good for you. They're healthy. They promote brain stimulation and yada, yada. You can use this site to influence the people in your life without them realizing.
And turn them into addicts too?
Here's a great one. A great way to put it. You can pay $49 to target one of your coworkers with the message, quit your job. If you hate your coworker, you can try to incept them. This is really inception is what this is.
Yes, that's what this is. It's insane. Once you can plant an idea, Jared, and it takes hold. You can pay $49 to have your alcoholic cousin exposed to stop drinking articles like this one. It never crossed my mind that I was an alcoholic. So it serves up that stuff, and without them having a choice in it, they're going to be influenced by these ads.
Great time to say that this episode of RBP is sponsored by thespinner.net. For $49, you can fulfill your legal obligation by paying us to serve Ross Bullen podcast ads at people you want to get to listen to.
You don't have to do that, though, because we'll do our own job spreading the message. Do not spend money on this site, for the love of God. Do not.
We do not have a partnership with them. I made that up.
This is horribly immoral.
Horribly immoral.
Horribly immoral.
Hey, do you think this web service is the reason why your Twitter feed was getting flooded with porn for a while?
I don't know.
Somebody's just targeting porn at your...
did a crank campaign on me? Just paid to try to get me to go crank? Did y'all see that? All the replies were porn gifts.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, somebody's just like, oh, we got to get Ross to crank.
Dude, like high def porn gifts. I'd be like, how's everybody doing today? And then it'd be like 26 consecutive porn gifts.
Remember when Ted Cruz's Twitter account liked a porn tweet and the woman in the porn tweet?
Jared, what you just phrased that in a way that wrote off all credibility, all blame of Ted Cruz. Remember when Ted Cruz's Twitter account? You mean remember when Ted Cruz was watching porn and accidentally liked the tweet?
Well, the woman in the tweet looked like a lot like his wife. That was the funniest part. And he blamed it on an intern.
Even funnier, that video then trended on every porn site for like 6 months. I'm not joking.
Really?
Dead ass serious. Yeah. but yeah, so this is really crazy. Like, okay, so the gaming one is the funniest example. It says the message that they're going to receive is accept my gaming habit! ! Target girlfriend/wife, and they receive exposure to articles like video games have the skills to pay the bills, so that they'll have a less negative perception of your hobby. It's obviously not all the way about like your girlfriend or wife then believing, ooh, my husband's going to become a professional video game player. But it's about there being some positive connotation with the activity. So you are successfully then influencing that person in one way or the other. This is the type of thing that with Facebook and with the great hack and with people have just now become aware that this is how it works.
It's messed up, man.
This is advertising. But it's like there's a blurred line. It's influence.
Lifestyle,
right?
Advertising.
But it's like personalized and influential. And it's fucked up.
Well, that's the thing, because this in itself has been going on for a while, but the fact that you can actually personalize it and target specific people.
Usually just companies who can do this.
Yeah.
Dude, if you had a brother who's struggling with like drug use, there's like a don't do drugs one.
I mean, I can see the good out of it.
There's
but they also have that next to like.
Dude, your 17-year-old comes to you and tell you they're buying a motorcycle. You can do a stop riding motorcycles one. Like, it's fucking crazy. And this is like, again, I have to repeat, my take here is how immoral this is. This is fucked up. You should not be allowed to do this.
Then why'd you accept that sponsorship from them?
And all the money. The briefcase that we're like throwing it up in the air, and around us right now, there's dollar bills just floating down everywhere.
Hey, I have a question. How do they, if you set up a campaign against someone, how do they get to you to where they get this content to in front of your base?
That. If I say, hey, give it to Rust, how do they get it to you? Do you have to install it on their computer?
They know your IP address?
I don't want to know.
They know your social security number or like your address?
These are the questions that I think we'd have to delve deeper into there.
That's the scary part right there.
I don't want to know, man. I don't want to, this is, it's too weird. A 3-month period of influence?
That's a long time.
But only 10 articles in 3 months? Do you think that's enough?
No. That's, what is that? That's one every 5, okay. 17.
Let's say this. This is terrible. It needs to be at least 100. Okay. Maybe $1,000.
Now, here's the thing.
Don't
give them free consulting.
Now we're consulting them on how to.
Now we're media consultants. Send us the bag, please.
Yeah. Accounting department, if you would file send them a bill for
invoice.
Let's just say $10,000. Let's say that was $10,000 worth of advertising.
Oh, send and them a $1,500 of promotion on the podcast.
Yes,
at least.
And then a very low
number.
Yeah. But that's the last thing I had to talk about was the spinner.net, because it absolutely melted my brain that this is a thing you could do, like, to try to, I mean, and they have like customizable, dude, you could like influence somebody to like give away their dog. It's fucked up. But that's it. That's it. Before you head out though, to take on the world, it's time for some very important announcements. First and foremost, if you're looking for more RBP, if you want more RBP than our Monday and Thursday episode.
We really like it. We want more.
Yeah. If you're like, oh my God. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast is the place to get it. We have a special guest every month, one episode based around that special guest. And then we have a hotline call extravaganza each month that takes place as well. It's super cool. No ads are featured in those episodes. The entire thing is supported by you guys, the patrons of this podcast, the RBP gang, the dues paying gang members on Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. We're going to have one of the two coming this week. I'm not sure if it's going to be the guest episode or the hotline call. I'm recording both. So I'm going to decide which one I want to go out this week, and then we'll probably have one in a couple weeks as well. And we'll do more cool shit on Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast involving Twitch. Now that we have that all set up and rolling, there are some tie-ins that I can play with, like doing live streaming just for the patrons that are on Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Like we could do like a Q&A.
Pick like a day of the week or like a certain time that they can always, I don't know.
For sure. But we could do like a Q&A where all the patrons could come and ask questions, and it's just the only people that have access to it are the people that are our dues paying gang members. So there's cool stuff we can do with Twitch to look forward to as well. Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. You have two legal obligations that you are now saddled with having listened to this entire episode. The first of which is you must rate and review. Not just anywhere. You must rate and review on Apple Podcasts. If you listen on Spotify or SoundCloud, that's awesome. I appreciate it no matter where you listen. But please rate and review on Apple Podcasts, as that's the biggest podcast service still. It's the one that gives us the best opportunity to continue to grow through exposure on their charts.
And so, by exposure, Ross means he frequently exposes himself to execs at Apple.
Yes. Tell one friend, family member, coworker, or neighbor about this show as well. That's your other legal obligation for the week. Every week, you must do this one. Tell one person. Doesn't matter who it is. Could be a homeless guy if they have AirPods in. As long as they have the ability to listen to the show, tell one friend, family member, coworker, or neighbor about RBP. Somebody that you think would enjoy the Ross Bolin podcast. That's your second legal obligation. Take care of it. Check the box, and then I can call off the dogs. We won't have to see each other in court. And we'll all live long and prosper. Follow us on Instagram at the Ross Bolin Podcast, on Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod, and you can find us on Facebook if you're the middle-aged aunt of one of our listeners. Again, last time I'll ever plug it, our September philanthropy initiative, bit.ly/donate4RBP. The word donate is lowercase. The letters RBP are uppercase. bit.ly/donate4RBP to support James and Jeffrey Coker and the Brookwood Community for Adults with Disabilities in Houston. Jared, AJ, thank you so much for joining me and co-hosting with me today. Jared, you first. Where can we follow you on social media and see more of your wonderful content?
If you're not a globalist, you can follow me on Twitter at Jared Borislow and Instagram at Jared Borislow and Instagram at Tinder Convos. That is me. I do that.
What is a globalist?
If you don't know, you probably are one.
You really? Okay, seriously though, what is a globalist? Do you not know?
Honestly, it's so hard. It's one of those things you have to see it
to believe it.
You can't explain it until you see it.
I'm going to read the definition that does this for you.
I don't want to hear it.
A person who advocates the interpretation or planning of economic and foreign policy in relation to events and developments throughout the world. Oh, so versus like only caring about your country?
I don't even know. Even after you explained that, that was just words that flowed together like morally jorbled or whatever you said.
Also, relating to or advocating the operation or planning of economic and foreign policy on a global basis. That is more word garble.
All I know is that it's funny on the internet to make fun of globalists and to say like,
okay,
not it's. I think the idea is this, and I'm gonna actually peel back the curtain here to really get behind this
on the internet.
Joke.
Where, Jerry?
No, here's the deal. I'm gonna peel back the curtain and actually, I was gonna like have that be the third. That was like the callback right there. To like, oh, everybody laughs at the end, and then that's like, oh, Jared had the funny.
Oh, you planned this all day, did you?
After I said globalist twice, I was like, rule of three is I need to say it again, and then people are going to laugh. But now that that's over and you've gotten your laughs in, here's the deal. Alex Jones always, like, he blames the globalists for everything.
Okay,
and so I was making fun of Alex Jones, but also acting like I hate globalists. I didn't even know what it was until you just described it.
How do you know that Alex Jones always blames globalists for everything?
Because a lot of times, my friends and I will get together and we'll laugh our ass off watching Alex Jones compilation videos.
I'm going to ask you something. How many people do you think watch Alex Jones because they believe or, like, are into the conspiracy side of it versus... How much of his audience do you think is people like you or like stone people that think it's hilarious or crazy or entertaining?
I actually think it's probably like 75% people who actually do listen to it, and it's more than we'd ever believe. Like more,
really? I would have said the flip, like no. 75% people who
I think
it's funny as shit.
It's kind of like you never expected Trump to win.
But yeah, it's the same
it's
type
the
of
same
deal.
Exact thing, dude.
Yeah, that's funny as fuck. Holy crap. Well, dude, I'll say this for that guy. At some point, his heart's going to explode, and and in the meantime, like, it's the same type of, he's just a content gold mine. The guy is a fucking lunatic.
And he's an Austinite. Get him on the show. Get him on the show.
How would that conversation even go?
He went on Joe Rogan.
The vibes couldn't, that's true, but he just went batshit the whole time. And him and Rogan have like the same stature. It's like two gorillas looking across at each other and screaming. Me and him, we're totally different. It's like, we'd be fucking Pinky in the Brain
you
in
would
here.
Get too. You kind of done that.
It would be exactly like that.
But no, you don't. You wouldn't get 15 words in.
No, not even.
Well, you just let him talk. You don't.
That's the thing. But I'd have to direct him.
You can't direct him.
I guess globalists.
You're like, yeah. Hey, how about them aliens?
I'd just bring.
He's like, well, let me tell you.
Globalists and aliens are the only two things I'd have to say, and then we'd be good.
Listen here, folks. Okay, you got the globalists. The globalists are taking over Brexit. Okay,
but there's a lot of that and a lot of face flap.
Just watch his face get redder and redder.
All right, AJ, where can we follow you on social media?
On Instagram and Twitter, I am at Capital AJ. That is CAPITALAJ. Hey, one more thing before we leave.
Yeah.
It's Monday Night Football right now.
We got
the Bengals and the Steelers.
Don't look.
We're going to make this an ongoing thing. Don't look.
Okay.
Bengals and Steelers, what do you think is going on? What do you think the final
score? How far in are we?
It's probably like second quarter.
I'm going to say... let's predict a halftime score.
Okay, yeah. Let's predict halftime, and then who's going to win?
I'm going to say 13-0 Steelers at the half.
I'm saying 10-0 Bengals.
Okay.
Actually, I'll go with the same number, 10-0 Bengals.
Look it up quickly to see what it's at now?
We got to pick a full game, too. So don't look.
Okay.
Before you look at the half, you need to say what the full
I
game
haven't
is.
Looked at the fucking half.
Yeah. Who's winning?
I think my halftime prediction is fairly telling. I think
they don't have Big Ben, by the way.
Bengals,
I don't know why you say
Bengals 20-10.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Steelers win that game. I don't know what I say. 13-0 at half. I'd say 26-10. 26-10 Steelers.
I think it ends up 17-10 Bengals.
I'd say 24-10. Either way, it's going to be a very boring game. They're both 0-3. It's not very exciting Monday Night Football.
All right, what are we at? 4 minutes left in the second quarter, 7-3 Steelers.
What did you say?
I said 13-0. Oh. But here's the thing. The Bengals fucking suck.
No.
They suck ass.
The Red
balls.
Rockets crushing it this year.
Yeah, Andy's
they both
great.
Suck, man. They're both 0-3.
I struck Andy out in Little League and he never recovered.
You did. You did. People forget about that.
I wonder when I'll let that go. Like
never.
I wonder when I won't mention it when Andy Dalton is mentioned. His whole career.
Actually meet him in person?
And then I won't bring it up. Actually, that would definitely be the first thing I mentioned.
I always do this with Andy Dalton, and nobody ever calls me out on it because they aren't paying attention. I always call him the Red Rocket instead of the Red Rifle. The Red Rocket is a dog penis.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know.
Nobody ever calls me out on that.
I didn't know his nickname was the Red Rifle.
Yeah.
That's
Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, because he's got red hair.
I wanted to see what would happen if you Google the Red Rocket.
And?
It's really disappointing. There's like an actual Red Rocket brand or something. Bummer.
That's bad.
Here's
branding.
The NFL thing, though. You lose your quarterback like Big Ben, and it's really like the Saints lost Drew Brees, for example.
Yeah.
Teddy came out, and the Cowboys still fucking lost. It's easy to forget that, yes, the quarterback is the most important position on the field by far. My franchise, the Texans, there's never been better evidence of that. We've never had a quarterback until Deshaun Watson. And it doesn't matter as much as you think, though, in terms of the whole weight of the whole game. So, like, last night, everybody dumped money on the Cowboys. Dude, by the way, AJ, if you didn't know this, bookies slaughtered everyone this weekend. I mean, the dude that I use had...
You included?
Mm-hmm. Best weekend of his entire career.
He told you?
He told me how much money he cleared, and I almost threw up.
You can't say it on
air. Y'all have that kind of relationship?
I don't really feel like making this any more, like, legally ambiguous than it is. But no, so I'm not going to say the number. But it was more than I have ever imagined it would have been. It was an insane amount.
You speak with him on the phone?
No.
They get
use
tea.
A voice modulator?
They get tea together.
Yeah, we meet in person. We've never spoken on
Ross,
the phone.
Ross gets his...
I don't send any illegal text messages. Please untap my fucking shit, please.
Ross hands him his picks written in calligraphy every week. Correct?
Sorry, I just zoned out on a lamp. What were we talking about?
I don't know. It's time to end it.
What were we talking about?
The Red Rocket.
You're talking about bookies.
Oh, dude, the NFL this weekend was a total bloodbath. People got absolutely wrecked, and Cowboys fans were the best example. Everybody thought the Cowboys would cover 2.5 or 3 against the Saints, and guess what? They didn't. Not only did they fail to cover, they failed to win at all.
What was the score? I didn't watch that game.
Y'all got to stop asking questions that require me to have like the fucking brain power of...
When was that game?
Stephen Hawking.
It was last night.
Last night. I was playing disc golf last night in the dark. I have glow-in-the-dark discs. It's a true story.
It was 12-10 New Orleans, Jared. Thanks for making me look that up. That will do it for RBP 227, recorded and produced by Mike Moody and Grant Davis at Permanent Record Studios in Austin, Texas. We'll be back Thursday for episode 228. RBP 228 coming Thursday. Jared is dabbing back and forth on each arm as we exit the studio. Podman gets paid. Strength and honor. Gang, gang, gang. Peace be with you and also with you.
Go low, baby.
Go low, baby.